was in a small Alliance church in Cochrane, Alberta. I was seated on the aisle side, and the service had begun, and a couple, a family of our friends that are friends of ours, were having their last Sunday in Alberta before moving to Sauble Beach, Ontario, to take over the pastorate at that church. The wife was speaking. And as Lisa was sharing in that particular morning, when she was preaching from God's Word, as I was sitting there listening to her, I started to hear a patter against the window. It was a patter that intensified as the rain started to hit. But it grew in intensity to the point where it was starting to be a window that was being banged upon as the hail was hitting. I looked out, and what had been pretty much a warm, clear, sunny Sunday morning was now dark. And as I sat there and as I looked, I could hear the wind blowing. And as I was listening to the wind and trying to focus in on what Lisa was preaching from God's Word, I looked at the window, and then I could see the swirling of what looked like black smoke. It wasn't long before everyone in there was aware that it was a tornado. And as that tornado started to shake the very church that we were in, I remember that we started running down to the basement of the church. You could hear the popping of windows. You could hear the roof being lifted off the building. Everyone's secure in the basement, and just as quickly as it had come, it was gone. A couple of the men of the church looked, creeping up slowly, up the stairwells, opened the doors, and we were all invited to come out. We stood in the place where the church once had been. The structure was gone. And as it was gone, as we stood there, the words that were coming from the people's mouth were, "It's all gone. There's nothing left." But you need to understand, in that particular moment, the church was never more visible than it was. Let's pray. God, speak to us this morning from your word. We thank you for the privilege we have to be your children. We thank you for the new life that we have in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the receiving of grace and mercy and giftedness, not for ourselves, Lord, but for one another and for your work. So speak to us, I pray, in your name. What an incredible story. I had that dream last night. I did. I have never had a dream like that that was as clear and as intense. For years, every once in a while I get them. Maybe you've had them, but I was sitting there, and some of you are going, "I can't believe that I fell for the story." It's not about falling for the story. It's about the timing of the story. I'm talking about the church this morning, and last night, after a restless night the night before, after visiting friends of ours in Waterdown, after barely making it through our times of games at the table, eyes that could barely stay awake, got home, fell asleep on the couch, thought it would be a good thing to go to bed around 10 to 12, went to bed, deep sleep, had this dream, and woke up going, "Wow." And I can't say that I am into dreams and everything, but there was a message here, I have no doubt in my mind, God was speaking to me. He says, "Mo, this is what the church is all about." Because if this building were to go this morning, there would be many of you, who would say it's all gone. Rightly so. There's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and investment here. But the point is that when we look at the scriptures, when we look at the passage that Sandy read from us in Acts chapter 2, there's very little mention about buildings. This morning, I want to ask you that question. I want to ask you, what is the church? I'd like to ask you, who make up the church? But I will ask you right now, and I want some of your feedback, okay, and I'm going to give you clear instruction here. give me words, not paragraphs, not essays, not sermons. What words come to your mind when you hear the word church? What words come to your mind? Speak them out and say them loud. People, family, love. Okay, all right. All right, I made quite a list myself, and you're hitting on them. There's no doubt about it when we talk about the church that we experience, that we do experience a building, a facility. Body of believers, group of Christians. It's people. Hopefully it's a place of healing. It's a sum total of all believers in Jesus Christ in the world. I've heard some say that it's, you know, I've heard this. I've heard people advertise this. Come to our church. We do church in a radical way. I got news for you. If the church is the church, it can't be any more radical than it is. It's not about glitz, but some people, you know, there are things. Come to our church because we do this. And there's all these things that go into making it up. It's a place to belong. It's open to everyone. But I wonder if we were to think about it, and I'm not going to ask your feedback because I've got a long enough list here. What words come to people's minds who are not part of the church, such as we are? If we were to ask the people out there, if you ask the people in your workplace, what comes to mind when you say the word church? Let me give you some of the things. I was doing Google searches this week just to see that question. It's been asked a lot of different forums that are there, blogs, and people respond. Here's some of the words. Building. It's a building. Stuck up. Judgmental. Religious. Homophobic. They know what they are against, but they don't talk about what they are for. Exclusive, closed. You need to become like them to be accepted. It's a place to get baptized, buried, and married. It's dogmatic. It's boring. It's a place where people can get help. Some people think of Maude Flanders of The Simpsons. Some people think of the church lady in the old Saturday Night Live skits. It's all about money. But all these things go, and believe me, when I was doing it, they're not all negative. There's still a lot of people that look at the church and they see a positive influence that it has. But I think it's important that we know who we are, that we know what the church is all about. We have small churches, medium churches, large churches, mega churches, multiple site churches, house churches, online churches. That's just a few to give you an idea of the many forms that that churches or fellowships of believers can fall into. We have more different churches than ever. In trying to do more, are we doing less? Do we need to be reminded of why we exist? I read an incredible, incredible email this past week, one of the church emails again. I want to share with you a fair bit about it. It's by a guy named Carl Vaders. He says, is your church stuck or just small? If your church is healthy, quit stressing about getting bigger. God may not be calling you to bigness. Carl Vaders says, I spent a lot of years trying to unstick a church that wasn't stuck. I thought it was stuck because it wasn't getting bigger. And I've been told in virtually every church leadership conference and book that if my church was growing numerically, if it wasn't growing numerically, we were stuck. I didn't want to pastor a church, a stuck church. I still don't. So he said, I started attending different conferences. I went to as many conferences on how to get unstuck as I could. I read all the books. I applied all the principles, and none of them worked. Pastors of fast-growing churches are always writing helpful blog posts with lists of things church must be doing wrong if we're not experiencing numerical growth. So I read a ton of blog posts listing 10 ways to get your church unstuck. Then I applied those principles to my church. They didn't work either. So I prayed longer and harder. Nada. Then I started reading stories of pastors and churches that stopped trying to grow, but just implemented principles of church health. As soon as they did, without trying to help God grow the church, boom, the church started growing like crazy. So I relaxed, stopped worrying about church growth. Our church worked on getting healthier instead, and no, that didn't work either. Finally, I left the modern church growth movement behind and went back to the source. I read, reread, preached, taught, retaught the book of Acts, looking for principles of church growth. Implementing them all, still nothing. And the question that no one told me to ask then started to come to my mind. Then I looked at my church again, and I asked myself a question none of the conference books or blog posts ever suggested. If I took numerical growth off the table, would I call this church a healthy church? The answer surprisingly was obvious. Yes, we were a healthy church. The church I pastor is one of the healthiest churches I know, which led to a follow-up question. If a church is healthy in every way but numerical growth, is it really stuck? I came to the conclusion that the answer was no. Turns out my church wasn't stuck at all. It was just small. And if that's the case, a small church can be a healthy church, then maybe numerical growth isn't the be-all, end-all sign of health it's been made out to be. Maybe a healthy small church is an okay thing to be. And as I soon discovered, a healthy church that keeps working on health gets even healthier. The challenge was, as I was reading this, was in the question, have you asked that question of yourself? Have I asked that question about Westburn, about our church? It's easy to attend seminars, and there are a lot of great seminars out there. And I think pastors and workers of the church should go, and they should keep up to date with teaching and seminars and be refreshed and be encouraged. But principles that you see in these conferences don't always translate. There's no prescription that says, do these three things, bang, everything's going to grow. I've talked to some of you who have been here for many years. And I know that in your heart you would love to see this place overflowing. But as I talk to you, some of you have said to me, said, Pastor, Westburn during the years has been a place that could almost be described as a hospital. Hurting people have come here for a season. They've been with us. And then they've been freed up and they've moved on. Oh, it'd be great if they all stayed here. But what we need to discover what our purpose is here at Westburn. And I think it's important that we recognize that there are characteristics of a healthy church, and we need to seek to be a healthy church. And so this morning, as we're going through some of these things, first of all, the question I ask you this morning is, what is the church? The easiest way that I can see what the church is was when I look at Acts chapter 2, and I see all those who had responded to the gospel. It said they were added to their numbers daily. To whose numbers? To the way. It was the church. And as they were added to their numbers daily, we see the different ministries that were taking place there. And so I think that for us at Westburn, if we were to look at Acts chapter 2, I think we can see that there are a number of things there that I think should be encouragement to us moving forward of what we need to be involved in. Some of you have seen this book over the years, Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Church. It's based on the same passage that we're reading right here. This is not Rick Warren's prescription. This is not his blueprint for success. He's looked at Acts chapter 2 and he sees in his book that there are five things that he believes the church needs to be involved in. And quickly, if you have Acts chapter 2 there, I'd like to bring them to your attention. It says that they were added to their numbers daily, those who were being saved. And so Rick Warren says that the purpose is, and this isn't from Rick Warren, this is from the scripture, it's outreach. It's taking the message. It's that word evangelize, that, you know, it's the mission of the church. And the target is the community. The target is the community. And so that would be one of the purposes. And I believe all these purposes would continue to build on each other. It says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and prayers and praising God. There's no doubt about it that we have been created to worship God. And so we see there's that worship. It's the idea of exalting God. And to this response, it would be the crowd. Looking at those numbers that were added to him, it was a crowd. The community, and within the community, there's this crowd of believers. And one of the things that they were committed to was worship. Reaching out. And the product of those being saved would be seen in the worship of those people. we move on and we see there certainly was fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. All the believers were together. They ate together. Fellowship, the need to encourage. This is about membership. And when I say members, I need to tell you this morning that I'd like to encourage you to be considering being a member of a church. If this is your place of worship, I'd encourage you to be members of this church. But what I'm telling you this morning is that you are a member immediately when you become a Christian. When the seal of the Holy Spirit is upon you, you come under God's ownership. You become a joint heir with others in Jesus Christ. You become a person that is a part of a larger body. It's the church. You become a member of it. And so are you a member? If you're a Christian this morning, you need to know that you are a member of God's church. And with that comes the responsibility to serve. And we're going to get on to that in a couple minutes. There is the idea of discipleship. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The call was to follow Jesus, but the call was not to remain as they were, but to come into a maturity of their faith in Jesus Christ, to be growing. Then, the last of the five purposes, according to Rick Warren, you know what, and you could, if you feel led, you could read this and you can make 10 purposes out of that. I'm just giving you five to make it easy. Service. They gave to anyone as he had need. This was about ministry. This was about faith being lived out. It's living that was functioning. And so as we look at it this morning, when you want to think about being a member, if you're a Christian and you're a member of God's church, you are called to being involved in outreach, worship, fellowship, discipleship, and service. This has nothing to do with giftedness. This is about a life that's committed to being involved in these different things. So as a church this morning, at Westburn, if we were to be thinking about the health of our church, are we involved in these areas? Are we fulfilling those purposes? I would say yes, but I think there's much more that we can do. And so this morning, I'm not here to hammer you over the head, because I have to hammer myself first. I'm here to encourage you. As your pastor, as one of your pastors, that as we're marching forward, let's do these things. Let's be committed to these things. There's an organization called the National Church Development. They put it in a different way. And I know that Dan and I were talking about this. The elders a number of years ago did this. We did it at our church in West at Waterdown. And as we did it, you get the people. There's a survey that everyone takes. You bring the statistics together, and some of you are going, statistics, okay. It's just a tool. And the tool shows this. It shows, it gives you a sign of where you are in the different levels. They use the illustration of a barrel. Imagine that this barrel has 8 slats in it. 8 slats of wood that come up. The idea is to see a balance of all these different purposes, all these different traits of a healthy church growing. Because if you're strong in one area, if you want to consider the barrel being filled with water, imagine that you're strong in one area, but one of the other ones is down here. The slat is down here. What's going to happen? Water's going to pour out. And the idea is to see growth in all these different areas. And quickly, I'll list them for you here. As they encourage churches to look at the different areas that might assist with church health. There's the evidence of empowering leadership, gift-based ministry, passionate spirituality, effective structures, inspiring worship services, holistic small groups, need-oriented evangelism, and loving relationships. Maybe it's a bit bigger in numbers here, but it really isn't much different from what we're seeing in Acts chapter 2 and the 5 that I just highlighted for you. So this morning, is our church doing all or most of these non-numerical signs of health? And if they are, then we have a healthy church. I don't believe we're stuck. I think we might need a bit of a push, but not really stuck. I think maybe we need to, again, just to rekindle the passion we have to serve God. And I think this builds on what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago in our service when we were talking about being fully surrendered. fully surrendered followers of Christ. Here I am, Lord, use me. Spirit, use me in whatever way you want. And Pastor Aaron shared with us last week about praying and listening and loving. And it's just, you know, I think we're in one of those phases right now where the messages seem to be building on each other. We're going to go into a series this summer, Ordinary Men, Extraordinary Women. And I hope that as we're looking at the lives of these people in the Bible that we're going to see that God chose to do some pretty amazing things through everyday people. You know what? We can look at the New Testament and we can look at somebody like James, John, or Peter. And we go, wow, they were great. You know what? If you look at the Gospels, they were some of the biggest mess-ups. They were. Ordinary people. They weren't the brightest people that God could have chosen, that Jesus could have chosen, but he said, I've got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for you. Should we be any different? God is calling us to serve. To service. I was reading a book, I got it while I was away on vacation, when our family was away, I got this. And it's one of those books that when I read it, it was like, oh, just really pierced my heart. It's called The Autopsy of a Deceased Church by Tom Rainer. 12 Ways to Keep Yours Alive. Tom Rainer is a bit of a church guru. And in this little book, he recounts thousands upon thousands of churches in the United States and Canada that have gone into decline or even had the experience where they close their doors. Sadly, it's happening too often. But as he was looking at the stories of all these different churches, he was looking at the reasons behind them. The most common factor, and he lists about 13, but he said the most common factor in the plight of churches that were being deceased or closing was that they were committed to an inward focus. In the 80s, when I was in youth ministry, we had Sun Life Ministries. A guy named Dan Spader developed it out of Moody Bible Church. Dan Spader, in his teachings, was talking about the church. He said, you have 20% of the people that were doing 80% of the work, and you have 90% of the programs that are for the people in the church. 10% were for outside. And I remember one of the churches, and when we looked at it, it hurt that we were maybe only 8%. And so why am I saying this morning? What am I getting at here? I'm getting at this, that we need to get out there. Melody, in her message this morning, was talking about invitation, right? Invitation. And so when we look at it, I'm wondering how we can get connected. And I think that's a question that God will answer pretty easily. I think I find that when I pray, God brings somebody into my path in this day. It's usually a prayer that doesn't go unanswered. So how can we become connected? Well, let me remind you of something. Remember the old Lego lesson? Any of you still got yours? Okay? I encouraged each of us to become connected with 4 different things. To become connected with God, our personal relationship, that we've been committed to wanting to go deeper with Jesus. I encouraged you that we would be a people that would want to get connected with God's Word. Go deeper in His Word. I think to go deeper in our faith, we have to go deeper in the Word. I said to get connected with our church. Connected with our church. Ministering to one another. But here's where I want to challenge you. There's been a number of small groups that have met within the last year or so. I really want to encourage you to be thinking about this. And I even want to challenge the 50-50 plus group to be thinking about this in this way. I think it's important that we get into small groups. Ours meets on a Tuesday night. We have 13 people in it, and we thank God for that. But what we're not trying to do is we're not trying to see, let's get 50 people into the Gillard's home on a Tuesday night, because that would be a surefire way that my wife would leave me. What we want to do is see a number of these small groups. You call them what you want, these house churches, these cell groups. We want to see people get connected. But if it's in an evening, be it in an evening. For the 50-50 group that might be in those golden retired years, you can meet during the day. You can have a lunch. We got a lot of flexibility coming our way now. We no longer have a nursery school that's going to be meeting in the church this fall. And as that happens, now suddenly we're not as limited as we were, because before we had to try to work around things. And I'm just wondering, is there a willingness to say, yeah, I want to get connected with God's people in God's word and have community here, because we need to go out there together. You see, that was the last one, connected in community. And so as we're moving forward, I want us to be a people that are saying, yes, I am part of the church. I am part of the fellowship that meets here. And I am part of the church that was told to go. We were sent. And if your mission field is in the workplace, if it's in your home with your neighbors, if it's here during the week because you like soccer and you just want to come by and just love people, you got an opportunity that's waiting there. I still am trying to figure out how we can tap into the fact that more and more we're seeing families out here every night playing on this field. I'm not sure. But I think if we pray, we can get connected with our community. I've been given a number of challenges, and I better remember to keep them myself. I need to read a book this summer. Okay, that'll be the easy one. I've encouraged you, if you can, to write a letter or type it and just mail it, but to the Dubays or the Schmitz. But here's one that I want to challenge with. How many of you like coffee? How many of you need a coffee right now? Okay. Here's what I want you to do. I've done it a couple Sundays, and I think this is something that we can be involved in. We don't have family Bible hour, but if you were to come here at 9 o'clock, the coffee would be ready, and what I would encourage you to do is to get a cup of coffee and go for a walk. For some of you can't walk that far, why don't a number of you commit yourself to praying around this building? It's going to be a prayer that says that in this day, Lord, may your Spirit manifest himself in a new and a fresh way. May your Spirit be poured out here, and at the same time, Lord, we are rebuking the enemy. Those are for some of that you can walk. Some of you want to walk a bit further. If you can avoid the lake that was up in the corner of the soccer field, do a couple laps around that soccer field. Now as you do the couple laps around that soccer field, pray, Lord, bless those families that come here this week. Use us in some way big or strong to connect with them. Lord, use us to show them love. But let's get off our property. I get a new subdivision over here, and it's not totally finished, but maybe some of you would say, you know what, in a half hour, I could probably just go and walk through there. Who knows? You might actually bump into somebody and just bless them. Some of you might want to do one of the blocks a couple weeks ago, and in probably about 15 minutes' time, I went down to the next stop sign, came down here, and it was, you know what? What a beautiful day. But what about if we connect in prayer? What about if we connect in prayer? What about if we pray for Canada Day, the celebration that's going to take place, and we're inviting these people out here? You know what? We don't have a lot of time. That's coming up quick. So you know, you can probably do it next Sunday, but hey, you know what? If you've got an hour this week, come by the church. Go for a walk. You see, let's connect in prayer to the community that we're claiming is our community, because we want it to be God's community. You with me? Not so sure. You with me? Okay. All right. There's a need to be connected. If you're to look in Luke chapter 10, quickly, I'll just want to make reference to this. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out 72 people. And as I was reading this week, there's four principles here that I'm quickly going to bring to you. There's not going to be a lot of meat on these, but I just want you to look at it. Jesus sends them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers in this harvest field. Go, and I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. Okay, I'm going to start there. In verse 5, one of the principles of evangelism is we want to bless people. We want to bless this area and its people. And let's just do that. Simply, in a kind word. And I don't see Jesus talking about sharing the gospel here. I believe that that is something that, certainly Jesus did and had his, and his disciples, his followers did. But in the particular moment when he was sending out 72, he said, bless the people. Bless them. Encourage them. Come beside them. We move on and we see in verse 7 that it's, that he says, stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you. For the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. But in this particular moment here, I'm calling this fellowship with them. Not only bless them, spend some time with them. Get to know them. Okay, that's a little difficult when you're just going out cold and you're going around. But in your place, of where you of employment or your place of residence, it would be easier to have fellowship with. Get together, have a barbecue, sit down, have a cold drink, whatever it would be. Quickly, in verse 9, we says, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. I guess in the easiest way, let's meet the felt needs, letting them see the power of God when he answers prayer. Some needs are easy, some things that it's just a matter of giving time, or it might be giving of something to meet a need. Other times, it's going to be those times when people need to be prayed for. You know what? It's interesting. People don't talk about God a lot of time, but get in a crisis, and they're willing to have you pray for them. I just find that is more the norm than it isn't. Finally, in verse nine also, we see those words. Okay, and tell them the kingdom of God is near. Share the gospel with them. I know this is just quick, but there's 4 points there. Bless the area and the people. Fellowship with them. Come alongside them. Meet the felt needs where you can. Pray for them so that they might see the power of God. And then when the time comes, share the gospel with them. It all comes down to being a people that want to be connected with God. Because when we're connected with God, we have to be connected to the community. Who is the church? The church is made up of those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The church is not exclusive. If it was exclusive, I wouldn't have gotten in. It's open. It's all about experiencing God's grace, his mercy, his love. It's come as you are, not as you should be, because none of us are as we should be. Thank you, Brennan Manning. And so as we see this morning, we are the church. Are you a member of the church? Okay, I promise you. I'm not so sure. Okay, I know, I'm just kidding. We are the church. We are part of the universal church of Jesus Christ. This is our community. We're claiming it. It's being claimed. And we're going to trust God to use us.